Local people, local stories. This is the All Local from 1010 Winds.
I'm Larry Mullins, and here are today's top local stories.
You might want to catch a helicopter to work this week and have the pilot parachute the babies off to school as well. Traffic going to be fierce. 1010 Winds reporter Mary Lynn Buckley here to talk about it.
Pack your patience this week if you plan on driving through the city. Naya Bingy drives downtown and says it's already been hectic.
Not too much honking horn, but bumper to bumper, definitely. Definitely bumper to bumper.
With Fashion Week underway, the United Nations General Assembly kicking off tomorrow, and the 23rd anniversary of 9/11's memorial service just 2 days away, there are street closures all over. Owen is a lifelong New Yorker who drives and says taking mass transit this week is going to be your best bet.
It's best if you don't drive in the city. I leave your car home and take the public transportation.
We can tell you the rush on the road is already picking up. Mary Lynn Buckley, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in FIDI.
Yep, as she said, pack your patience, everybody. Well, they sentenced a Queens man for a deadly crash in Richmond Hill that killed two neighbors. Queens DA Melinda Katz says Tamir Khan was driving drunk when he killed Indurdio John and Charles Harris in June of last year. Mr. John was driving his neighbor, Mr. Harris, to his job at a school when Khan blew through a stop sign, it says here, and crashed into them. The DA says Khan cost two men their lives and left a wide circle of family and friends heartbroken, adding, this is yet one more example of a preventable tragedy caused by drunk driving. Khan gets seven to 21 years for it. He pleaded guilty in July to aggravated vehicular homicide. In Gloucester County, two school districts are closed today after police look into a threat made on social media. Schools in Woodbury and Deptford townships shuttered a total of five schools, including Thomas Bull Middle School. Authorities won't give any details about the threat, but a juvenile suspect is in custody. School officials sent out notices to parents last night as well as on social, saying we don't believe the threat is credible, but we're not taking any chances for the safety of those babies, the staff, and families. So they canceled bus service, school bus service, and all after-school activities along with the classes. Also stepping up security in and around the campuses, and they're asking anybody with information about the incident to call the police. Meantime, at a Jewish center at Shelter Rock, the rabbi says the sign out front will be replaced, but cops still want to know who splashed it with red paint over the weekend in one of the latest anti-Semitic incidents on Long Island.
Rabbi Claudio Kupchik blows a shofar as he talks about the damaged sign splashed with red paint. The sign reads, "We stand with Israel and bring them home now."
We are different people. We have different ideas. Nobody should be attacked or hurt because of what they believe, and everybody should be respected.
The sign is outside the Shelter Rock Jewish Center. So far, no one has been arrested. 100 people came together for a demonstration of peace. The rabbi, who has held the job for only 1 week, says the sign will be repaired.
But when it comes to our own doorstep, when it comes to our own neighborhood, that becomes very painful. So immediately we thought to bring the community together.
Sophia Hall, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM in Roslyn, Long Island.
Yeah, and as she mentioned, this would happen during Rabbi Claudio's first weekend with the synagogue. Aye, aye, aye. A 46-year-old guy killed this morning, shot to death as he walked to his car to get to work up in the Bronx. Cops got a call about 8 at East 216th Street in Laconia. This is in Williamsbridge. They got there and found the guy with multiple gunshot wounds, pronounced dead there at the scene. Police aren't sure if the shooter was someone he knew. No arrests have been made. The victim's name was not released because they hadn't contacted his family yet. A follow-up now to all the controversy out of City Hall last week connected to an FBI inquiry which touched certain high-level members of Mayor Adams' administration. That includes his police commissioner and the question of whether or not Eddie Caban should step down. Juliet Papa with the latest from the fallout.
Mayor Adams was asked if Police Commissioner Edward Caban has a future leading the NYPD.
I don't think anything in life is guaranteed. I would say this, when I chose Eddie, I chose him for his experience and what he brought after 30-something years of service.
The question comes after Caban's phone and electronics were seized, along with top staff in his office and others in the NYPD. Sources say that up to 15 people in the department were subjects of subpoenas or search warrants, and that interviews were held with members of the department in off-premise offices for several NYPD task forces police units. The investigation or investigations have also ensnared the police commissioner's twin brother, the deputy mayor for public safety, his two brothers, and other top members of the city's administration. Juliet Papa, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
Also today, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg announcing an indictment for the guy who allegedly set fire to an Israeli flag during an April 20th protest up at Columbia. 40-year-old James Carlson charged with criminal mischief and arson. They're also charging him with damaging police property inside his holding cell while he was being processed after his arrest. Bragg says Carlson endangered the safety of others when he allegedly snatched a protester's flag, tried to light it on fire until it was pulled away from him. He was also charged with entering Hamilton Hall and arraigned for trespassing. Police say he went nuts when they were processing him down at one police plaza and broke a glass panel in a holding cell. They think he was mad about something, you think? He's awaiting his next court date now to explain it all to a judge. From Bath Beach, Brooklyn, a bit of advice: if your car ever gets eaten by a sinkhole in the wee hours of the morning, don't go fishing for it. Let it go. A water main break led to a whole lot of problems, which almost turned tragic for a would-be car hero. Listen to this.
So it's 2:30 in the morning. Vincenza Malieri and her boyfriend get a knock on the door from a neighbor saying, "Wake up, your car is surrounded by water because of a water main break in the parking lot." So out they go. Her boyfriend, not knowing there's a sinkhole, went right in.
But the craziest thing, so he goes right to the car and plop right in.
Yeah. Plops right in, yes.
I mean, could he get out on his own? Did he need help to get out? Or
I tried to get him out. There's no one out there, so we did our best, but I got him out.
How did you get him? I mean, I saw that picture. It's crazy. How'd you get him out?
Well, him helping himself and me pulling him out.
Just like crawled out?
Yeah.
Her boyfriend, who's also the building superintendent, did suffer a leg injury after falling into more than 3 feet of water. The DEP now on site making repairs. Glenn Schuck, 1010 Winds, 92.3 FM, Gravesend, Brooklyn.
Ooh, talk about a crazy morning. A slashing attack in Brooklyn to tell you about now. This happened at 10 o'clock this morning in Borum Hill. Police say the suspect came up behind the victim and just slashed his throat. The victim, 53 years old. No word on his exact condition. He is expected to survive, though. Police say right now this appears to be a random act, and they are still searching for a suspect at this hour. We'll keep you posted on that. Well, the Queens man, who police say got behind the wheel of his car drunk and then killed two men from South Ozone Park, just learned his fate today. A judge sentenced Tamir Khan to 7 to 21 years behind bars. The deadly crash happened more than a year ago, June of 2023. Police say Khan sped through a stop sign and slammed right into the victim's car. In July, he pleaded guilty to aggravated vehicular homicide. Well, as we get ready to mark 23 years to the day of the 9/11 terror attacks, our first responders have reached a tragic new milestone. More firefighters have now died from 9/11-related illnesses than died on that day.
Jim Brosi, president of the FDNY's Uniformed Fire Officers Association, said the numbers are alarming.
But the numbers don't paint the picture of how people are suffering, how people have become dependent on quality medical care. And although they're alive in life, they are not necessarily living.
Over the weekend, Brosi said they buried a firefighter in his 50s, diagnosed with a terminal cancer less than a year ago. The World Trade Center Health Program has never been fully funded, but there's hope in a new bill introduced by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
The amount of money they've needed has continued to grow over time, but they feel with this last package that they'll be able to be fully funded after this amount coming in.
Marla Diamond, 1010 Winds on 92.3 FM.
Sentencing today in a bribery scandal that rocked the New York City Department of Education. Eric Goldstein, the former executive officer of the DOE's Office of School Support Services, along with three other business owners, got prison time. Goldstein got the most, though, 2 years behind bars. A federal jury convicted the four in June of last year. The FBI said Goldstein accepted nearly $100,000 in bribes linked to the school lunch program. The agent said he prioritized lining his own pockets over serving healthy meals to school kids.
Thanks for listening to the All Local from 1010 Winds. And for the latest news, traffic, and weather, tune to 1010 Winds, visit 1010winds.com, or download the Odyssey app to take us wherever you go.